Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the time we've had lifting our voices in song. Songs which have reminded us of just how great and awesome you are. And even as Anna has shared, songs that express your love for us and the sacrifice that Jesus was willing to make on our behalf. Lord, we thank you for that reminder as we prepare to take the elements of communion this morning. May they help us remember the significance of what you've done for us. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I was just thinking yesterday of what it was like when I was a child at Christmas time. The excitement when the Christmas tree would go up. There was something magical about it. The wonder of the lights. Got to listen to the Christmas records. And we're looked forward to the gifts that would come. But as a child, I don't know that I grasped the significance of the day. Didn't grasp that it was the day that Jesus was born. Didn't grasp that this was part of God's redemptive plan. I have to wonder, even as adults, if we're not guilty of overlooking the significance of Christmas. We spend hours online shopping for gifts. And there's always that one person who's difficult to shop for. In my case, that would be my parents. But we also have to rearrange our budgets to make sure we can pay for the gifts. And then trying to figure out if it's going to be the right size. Yellow gold or white gold? 1 carat or 2 carat diamond? And I have to wonder, why do we buy gifts? And then as I was thinking about this, I did some research online, and it appears that gift giving goes all the way back to the wise men in the Bible. And those three gifts had specific meanings. Gold was associated with kings. Jesus is the King of Kings. Frankincense was used as a way to express worship. We know that Jesus is God and worthy of our worship today. And myrrh is the perfume that was used on dead bodies. Even as a child, it was understood that Jesus was destined to suffer and die. The question is, as you give gifts to each other, do you ever think of these three gifts? I fear that even as Christians, we do not. My prayer is this morning that we will be reminded of why we celebrate Christmas. And this morning, we're going to look at a passage that will help us remember the significance of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. If you turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 11. One of the things we're going to see is that the gift of salvation allows you and I to have peace with God. Often we think of God as a God of love, a God of mercy and grace. And these are true, but God is also a God of wrath. We see this throughout the Old Testament. In Leviticus chapter 10, we read about Aaron's sons. We see how they used the wrong fire to offer a sacrifice. And God would overtake them by the fire and they would die. Numbers chapter 16, we have Korah complaining against Moses. And the ground would open up and swallow the family, destroying them all. And even in Numbers chapter 20, we read of how Moses would strike the rock instead of speaking to it. And because of that one simple disobedience, he would not be allowed to go into the promised land. And in the New Testament, we have the story of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. They would lie to the apostles, saying they had given all that they had, yet they kept some back. As a result, they would die on the spot at the apostles' feet. Folks, God has not changed. He is still a God of wrath. Anyone who sins is destined to die. It is only through faith in Jesus Christ that we can have peace with God. And we see this in verse 1 of chapter 5 as we read, Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In our Bibles, when we see the word therefore, we should always look at the previous context. So if you look at verse 25 of chapter 4, we read, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. He was delivered up for our offenses, or he died for our sins. He was raised to life for our justification so that we could be declared righteous. It is this justification that allows you and I to have peace with God. On the cross, Jesus would take the wrath that you and I deserve, so that at the moment we placed our faith in him, we were no longer objects of God's wrath. So we continue on. We see that the gift of salvation gives us hope. Verse 2 reads, through whom also we have access by faith into the grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. It is because we are at peace with God that we rejoice in the hope of his glory. If we were not at peace, we would not have any hope. In fact, instead of hope, we would have fear. You know, when you have offended someone here on earth, you tend to avoid them. When you see them, you go in the opposite direction. Can you imagine what it would be to face a holy God without being justified? It would not be a day that we all look forward to. But yet, because of our salvation, we place our hope in the day that we see God. It's because of Jesus Christ and what he has done for you and I. We look forward into entering into his presence. What about you? Do you have that hope this morning? Do you look forward to entering into God's presence for all eternity? But hope not only is something we look forward to, but it allows us to look past our current situation. So we look at verses 3 and 4, we read, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Not only do we rejoice in the glory of God, but we're to rejoice in our suffering. I've not seen too many people rejoicing these past few months. Hallelujah, there's a pandemic. Instead, we have been guilty of complaining about how it's been handled, complaining because we can't do what we want, complaining because we have to wear a mask. And by the way, if you don't want to wear a mask in church, you can preach. But despite our present circumstances, we can still look forward to eternity with God. We can rejoice, as Paul would say in Romans 8, our suffering is not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. Our lives here on earth are just a glimpse of what is to come. We are going to be with God forever. No more worries. No more tears. No more pain. But as we continue on, we see that this hope is a product of God's love in verse 5. In verse 5, we read, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who he has given to us. I love that this says, this hope does not disappoint. This is different than any other hope that we have here on this earth. Our money will someday disappear. Relationships will end. Our health will fail. And our minds will grow dim. These are just a few things that we often place our hope in. The only hope that will not disappoint is hope in God. And the Holy Spirit confirms this hope within our lives. The Holy Spirit assures us that our hope has not been placed in vain. So it's as we look to our future, we can rest assured that we will spend eternity with God. We see that God's love is displayed through the gift of salvation in verses 6 through 8. In verse 6, we're told, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Notice we read it says, when we were helpless, a time when we did not have peace with God. We were lost in our sins. Maybe we were trying to earn our way to heaven, leaving us helpless to do anything. We're told that Christ died for the ungodly. Aren't you glad it doesn't say Christ died for the righteous? He died for us when we were lost in our sins. Not because we had earned favor with him or done anything to please him. We were lost in our sins. As Paul continues on in this passage, he compares Christ to mankind. In verse 7, he says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die." It is a rare occasion that here in this on this earth that someone will give their life for someone else. We might consider it for our spouse or our children, but would we willfully give our life for someone else so that they could live? Now, Billy Graham was a great evangelist, but would any of you have given your life so that he could have a few more days? Or even Brad Rowski, he's a pretty nice guy. He leads in worship. He's been, you know, he's a pretty handy guy on the grill. He cooks good food. He's worked for the state in correction for over 30 years. Helps out with a few projects here at church. But would you give your life for him? There might be a few people in here that would. But the reality is, most of us would not. But yet in verse 8, we're told God's love for us was so great that he would do the unthinkable. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Really, this ties back to verse 1. It is through Jesus Christ that we've been saved from God's wrath. It is through Jesus Christ that we have peace. And this verse makes it clear that it is God's wrath that we have been saved from. As we look at verse 10, as we look at verses 9 and 10, we are told, "Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved by his life?" I've always been in awe of verse 10, as it expresses when we were once an enemy of God. I don't think we ever really think of ourselves in that light. Sure, we may have told a few lies, run a few yellow lights, gossiped a few times. Did that really make us an enemy of God? The answer is yes, it did. And I think about that. We talked about what it would be to give our life for someone we know, for a Billy Graham or a Brad Rowski. But would we give our life for an enemy? I don't think so. But yet that's what God has done for you and I. It is through Jesus Christ that we have been reconciled unto God. It is through his death, burial, and resurrection that the gift of salvation has been made possible. It is as we place our faith in Jesus that we are reconciled, we are restored unto a relationship with God. If we look at verse 11, we see that our salvation gives us reason to rejoice. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Not only so, but we can rejoice. If you're here this morning, you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, can I get an amen? Folks, we have reason to rejoice this morning. No matter what's going on in the world, no matter the fact that there's a pandemic, we can rejoice. Knowing that when we die, we will be with God forever. And none of this would be possible without Jesus Christ. None of this would be possible if he had not been born in the manger. None of this would have been possible if he had not lived a sinless life. None of this would be possible if he had not died on the cross. It is because of Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone that we can rejoice this morning. You may have picked up on some key words this morning. Words that if you celebrate Advent are focused on during the Christmas season. Love, hope, peace, and joy. You know, without Jesus, we would not know the love of God. Without Jesus, we would have no hope. Without Jesus, we could not have peace. Without Jesus, there would be no reason to rejoice. This is why we celebrate Christmas. This is why we celebrate his birth. It says we partake of these elements this morning. We are reminded of what Christ would do 33 years after his birth. If it were not for the cross, we would have no reason to celebrate the birth. And may our time this morning as we partake of these elements help us remember. Remember that Christmas is more than just tradition. It's more than just giving and receiving gifts. It's about the greatest gift, the gift of salvation. The gift that was made possible through the sinless life of Jesus Christ. The gift that was made possible by the shedding of his blood. The gift that has been made available to all who will trust in Jesus Christ to save them. May we never forget that. And may we stay focused over these next few weeks as we enter into the Christmas season. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, may we always be thankful for what it is you've done for us. May your Spirit give us the strength to rejoice despite our circumstances, knowing that everything here on this earth will soon vanish away. And we will be with you to serve you throughout all eternity. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.